If you've ever struggled to maintain a healthy lifestyle, even when you know exactly what you should be doing, well, you're not alone. There's an old saying, the mind is the key to everything. But the real question is, how do you unlock the mental strength you need to truly transform your health and wellness? Joining me today for day three of our five-day workplace wellness series is Bindi Delaney, a great Learnit facilitator and a health and wellness expert with over 15 years of industry experience. Bindi's from Australia, and she's also achieved something pretty incredible, especially when it comes to mindset. She completed an Ironman, one of the world's toughest endurance events anywhere out there. Bindi's journey from the starting line to the finish line of the Ironman isn't just about physical endurance. It's a powerful example of how mindset plays such a critical role in achieving what might seem impossible. Today, Bindi's going to share with us a few key strategies that helps you not only improve your health, but truly thrive by focusing on your mindset. I'm Damon Lemby, CEO of Learnit, a live learning platform that's upskilled over 2 million people over the past three decades. And you're listening to the Learn It All podcast, the podcast where great leaders aren't born or made, they're constantly in the making. Let's dive in and get ready for today's episode. Bindi, it's great to see you again, and I'm excited for another episode. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Damon. How are you doing today?
Great.
Well, today we are going into three ways to change the way you think. And I think this is a really important one when you're talking about health and wellness. I think it's that mindset is probably the top of the pyramid for taking care of.
And why do you feel like mindset is so important when it comes to health and wellness?
Well, if you want to change nutrition, exercise, sleep habits, self-care, any of those big things that need changing, you have to have the right frame of mind to be able to get there. And you have to be able to recognize maybe when you're leaning to the negative. And it's sort of that age-old story of fight or flight, right? Our brains are programmed to look for danger, to keep us safe. We're continually analyzing risks, and we're leaning kind of towards those negatives. And that can make things really difficult if you are trying to make some healthy changes. It can be quite challenging to, you know, bring on new habits and change something that might be ingrained in your behavior. So it's so important to learn how you can change your mindset. And what's really fascinating about it is that you can actually rewire your brain for the positive. You can actually lay down new brain connections to help you see more positives in your behavior and in the way that you think and the way that you act.
I think that's great, because as I'm listening to you speak, it reminds me a lot of times where I either get on the right track or the wrong track. And I think it's super mental. You know, for example, there are times where I go through periods where I just eat nothing but carbs. I eat pizza, I see bread on the table, and I just go for it. And there's other times where I have the mental discipline where I just stay away from it, you know, and it's tough. You know, it takes time to build up those habits. But I also feel like once those habits are going forward for you, then mentally you're also more prepared to not even consider it or to be strong.
Yeah, exactly. And because we're in always such a state of change, right? So you have to be able to recognize maybe when things are a little bit tougher and that you need to lean into some of the skills that you have to rewire your brain and find maybe some more positive and change your mindset. But we don't have to do it always. Some days we're feeling great and we don't have to sort of consciously think of it. But other days we do need to. One thing that I had an experience with, it's a little bit closer to home for me. My father has been struggling for a decade with Lyme disease and co-infections. And, you know, that long-term struggle with an illness that I'm sure there's many different things out there. It's really hard to stay positive and to change your mindset about things that might be a big challenge for you. And when he was really struggling at one point, I was doing a lot of research around mindset, positive thinking, like what could we do to help him? And I came across two things. And one thing was this study that was done by Harvard, and they had three psychologists analyze essays that were written by a group of nuns back in the 50s and 60s. And they found that those that wrote more positive experience, so they actually wrote about their positive experiences every day, actually lived longer. They had on average up to 10 years living longer. Yeah, just writing about their positive experience. So I kind of took that and went for my dad. We actually covered all over his mirrors and the walls, you know. So first thing when he would wake up, he and I had written all these different positive thoughts and things that were inspirational to him and helped him change his mind first thing when he got up, right? And that's kind of a more extreme example, but it can be even as small sometimes as pausing, you know, maybe in the morning or the night, and even just thinking about something positive, something you did, something you saw, something you like about yourself. You know, I'm having a great hair day. Even like that small can actually just be so positive in changing the way that you think overall.
I love it. Well, let's get into the top three things you could do to change your mindset.
Yeah. So first one, really simple, catch it. You have to kind of catch yourself when that negativity comes up. So you need to sort of recognize, you know, what is happening, where is it happening, why are you thinking that way? You do need to kind of uncover what is going on. And I find the best way, number two in there, is to compose it, right? To write it down. Because if you actually write it down, rather than it being a fleeting thought that might be coming and going or a thought that you're holding on to, writing it down makes you face the thoughts. And when you read it and write it down, you might go, oh, wow, am I really being that negative? Right? Is that something I truly believe? And then when you've written it down, it actually then becomes easier to challenge it, which is number three. So you have to consciously challenge and think, is there another way to look at this thought? Right? If this negativity has come up, if something's really challenging, is there another way that you might be able to see a slightly brighter side to it, or even just another way? And I think one thing that you could even do, I know you've talked about it, a technique before in your book, is that purposeful awfulizing, right? Is another way to kind of challenge your thought process when you're struggling with maybe a negative thought.
Yeah. And so help you understand what I mean by purposeful awfulizing is you take whatever situation you're in and you fast forward, let's say a year, and you look at, you know, because we're always told, hey, always look at the positive of things, always look at the positives. But sometimes it's not even a bad idea to look at what's the negative. So if you look at it from a year from now, and whatever the worst case scenario is, you might say to yourself, well, that's not really that bad, right? That's something I could live with, right?
And it can be really powerful then to even take it further and go, okay, well, maybe realistically, that's not going to happen, right? You can even get that far where it will help you almost come back to earth and go, okay, actually, I can cope with what's going on right now. And I can see it maybe in another way.
That's great, Mindy. We've kind of already gone through what three steps are that you recommend. Number one is catch it. Number two is write it down. And number three, I believe, is it rephrasing it, looking at it a different way?
Yeah, or challenge it. So you could, I have a nice little acronym, CCC, right? Catch it, compose CC. It, challenge it.
So let's start with the, let's go all the way back to the catch it, right? So can you talk a little bit more about that as far as how somebody can learn to, I guess, be self-aware and to be able to catch it?
Yeah, sure. So sometimes we're maybe much more negative than we realize, and we have to try and stop and hear what we're saying to ourselves, right? Because it's a mental dialogue normally that's going on. And it can be kind of alarming, right? You can almost ask yourself, you know, would I be saying that to a friend? Which is a good way to kind of turn it around. But I think it's a challenging thing to do, and it takes practice to catch it. The biggest thing is to think about how you might be feeling. So if you're in a situation, let's say something stressful at work, and you might notice there's more like physical symptoms that come on first. So if you're in sort of maybe a negative mindset, something's really stressing you out, so you might have an increased heart rate, or you might get sweaty palms, or something physical might alert to you that you're feeling maybe stressed. And then you can catch, okay, well, what am I thinking? You know, where is my mind going? And what is the process that's happening right now? And then you can compose it, write it down. You know, what's the story you're telling yourself? What are the thoughts that are happening from there?
Let me ask you this. So when it comes to compose it, is it just as helpful to pull up a note on your phone and just type it in? Or are there actual studies that show that physically having a pen and paper and write it down actually brings more stress relief and better, or does it not matter?
You know, that's a really good question. I actually don't know the answer to that one. No, that's all right. But I'm a pen and paper person. I try and get off my devices as often as I can because I would get too distracted, right? You're in the middle of typing your thought and then an alert comes on and, oh, I'm late for a meeting, or, you know, the Amazon order is not arriving, something like that. So I'm a pen and paper person because I wouldn't be able to get distracted. And I think there is something connecting you more with your thoughts if you're writing it down, is my thoughts on that. But I'm sure either way, if you're at least facing your thoughts with it in written script, whether it be writing it in a note or using a pen and paper, it still has that powerful step, putting you in the face of your thoughts when they're written down.
Yeah, no, I ask because I kind of feel like the same thing, where writing it down might be a little bit more helpful, but I think just getting it down is so important. And one of the things that I've used over time that's helped is actual like visualization, like to actually visualize that things will be okay, you know. And maybe this doesn't have to do with food and you know, my mental state. Actually, it does. Let's say that I have to go into a very difficult conversation or a doctor's appointment where maybe something could be wrong. I've actually like written down, hey, I'm going to be okay, or this call is going to turn out fine, right? And for whatever reason, it just gives you a little bit more comfort, I think.
Yeah. And like you said, rather than just sort of thinking that, actually writing it down.
That's what I mean, write down.
Yeah. And it's just such a powerful step, right? It really is putting those possible thoughts that are flying through your head or sticking in and nudging in there and not going away. It really is putting them into concrete so you can either find comfort in them, like you said, if you're writing something to tell yourself you're okay and you're doing fine, or if it's, you know, recognizing something where you are being hard on yourself and you are being down about something. It is definitely a helpful step in then helping you to come to that third phase of challenging it and trying to find another way to see things.
Yeah. And when it comes to challenging it, I think one of the things, and my mom's always told me this, and she's great at it, right? Because I tend to be somebody who gets stuck on something and really worries and worries and worries, you know? And a lot of times she'll say, you don't really, what's the use of worrying? How is that going to help you, right? How's that going to help you? And so many times, what you worry about, and this is getting back to the whole part about challenging, I think so many times when you worry about something, it never really gets to the level that you think it's going to get, right? It's never, I mean, I can't say never, but it's very rare that it's as bad as you think things are going to be.
Yeah. There's a favorite quote from a Tom Petty song that I love. Most things we worry about never happen anyway.
There you go. So,
yeah. It's exactly right. And I love that your mom, you know, would bring that up with you as well. You know, why are you worrying about it? And it can be hard, you know, at 3 a.m. if you've joined us for our talking about sleep, and maybe that's something that keeps you awake, right? It can be really tricky at 3 a.m. trying to bring yourself back down to get out of those worries for whatever reason. 3 a.m. is that extra worry time for us all in the middle of the night.
And I have to give you a little credit, because back in our first episode together, we discussed, you know, waking up in the middle of the night or maybe the second episode when we were talking about sleep, right? I woke up the other night and instead of, you know, stressing about being awake, I just said, you know, it is what it is, you know, picked up a book and read it and eventually went back to sleep.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you're able to use that. It was really changed for me too. When I started doing that, I was like, oh, I don't have to be stressed. I'm just going to be a little tired tomorrow. You know, whatever, we'll cope. Well, thanks, Damon, for chatting with me about this one. I think it's such an important step, as I said, in this, you know, month of wellness that we're talking about, to make any of those healthful changes. We really do have to try catch ourselves, try to start rewiring our brains to the positive and using this sort of simple method. Simple, but can be challenging to start off, but it really is just the beginning. So
let me ask you this before we go, because this is great. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but are there any other resources that you recommend? Like, I love the book Growth Mindset, I think it's called, by Carol Dweck and Angela Duckworth Grit. But do you have any other go-to resources, whether it be books or documentaries, that people can use to, you know, continue to learn how to have a positive mind shift?
I actually find that things that more fall in line with gratefulness, I think can be really helpful. So I actually use a little more on like mindfulness apps. You know, there's Calm, there's a Smiling Mind is one that I love from Australia, where it talks you through thinking about things that you're grateful for, you know, finding that voice that someone else is guiding you. I think that can be a really powerful resource, is actually diving into some of those thought-provoking situations. Alternatively, I don't have any names off the top of my head, but any books that where someone has gone through something challenging and really come out the other side and hearing their personal stories. Like Michael J. Fox always comes to mind for me because he's just so inspiring how he's coping with that particular disease and struggle. But any of those sort of really challenging life stories that people have, reading about them and finding inspiration in how they find the positives and how they rewire their thought processes when they're faced with such big challenges. I think that can be really helpful too.
Yeah, it made me think of one of my favorite books of all time, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Yeah. Absolutely incredible book. You know, a lot of times if I'm having a down day, I think back about his time in a concentration camp and what that must have been like and how he was able to, you know, use his mind to get through it. I also want to point out, if you're a big Learn It All podcast fan, which you are because you're here, you should definitely check out the episode with David Katz. He talks about the power of choice and shares with us this incredibly heart-wrenching story about losing his daughter at a young age and how he was able to shift his mindset into looking at everything as a gift. So that's another resource that's out there for you.
Yeah, a great one. I'm looking forward to listening to the full podcast on that. It's a really powerful message.
Yeah, David Katz. All right, last question before we go. Around mindset, is there one piece of advice that you, Bindi, would go back and give your younger self?
Most things we worry about never happen anyway. Yeah. That line just stays with me. I was such a worrier when I was younger, in my teens and early 20s. I would worry and fret about everything, and knowing that most of the time it's wasted energy, no. Right? I think so I needed true. To be told that.
Yeah. So true. Well, great. And thank you for all our listeners. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do me a favor and rate and review. And by the way, take a look at our new program that Bindi's heading up for us, the Small Steps Wellness Program. There's going to be a link to it in our show notes. And we're going to move on to episode 4 next, which what's going to be our next episode, Bindi?
We are looking at 2 really simple steps to some healthier eating.
Great. All right. Until next time, I want everybody to stay curious and keep learning. Have a good day.